Matthew chapter 28. Again, what a joy it is to share together and celebrate with these on their baptism, and we'll get a chance to for you to celebrate with them here at the end of our service. And I think a very appropriate text for all that we have experienced this week as a church, and all that we have seen God do in this place over the last few days, is to be reminded of what it's all about. In Matthew chapter 28, we find Jesus giving those final instructions to his disciples. And their Messiah, the one they thought was going to lead a military revolution over Rome. What they didn't know was that that wasn't the reason he came. He came to go to a cross. He came to shed his blood. He came to pay for our sin debt as a sacrifice for all of mankind. And so after 3 days, he rose again. And over the next 40 days, as a resurrected Savior, Jesus made himself known to his disciples. Sometimes he appeared to them as a group. Sometimes he appeared to two or three. At one point, Paul tells us in Corinthians that he appeared at one time to over 500. One time could see him. But then Jesus, before he leaves this earth, before he goes back to heaven, he gathered those disciples on the top of the Mount of Olives. He gave them some words that they needed to hear and gave them their marching orders. They are our marching orders as well today. You find Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, if you'll stand to honor the reading of God's Word. If you have a red letter edition of your Bible, a study Bible to indicate the words of Jesus in red, these should be red, colored in your Bible. If you don't, you could just mark the fact that Jesus is saying these beginning in verse 18. But notice verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. We want to thank you for all that we have been able to experience this week. 14 precious souls accepted you as their Savior in this building this week. We have been able to stand and celebrate with 3 precious ones who have publicly declared their faith in baptism this morning. Father, we just want to thank you. And may we be reminded of what it's all about. May we continue in doing the work that God has called us to do. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've given as a title of my message this morning, The Purpose of the Church. The Purpose of the Church. You know, everyone should have a purpose in life. There should be some reason why you do what you do. You should have a purpose in your family. You should have a purpose for that, something that gives you meaning. I think one of the great confusions in our day is that the world is confused about what the purpose of the church is, depending on what part of the country you may live in or either what part of the world you may reside in. You may have a different outlook about, without really consulting the Bible, you may have an idea of what maybe the church is about. Some look at it as a once-a-week gathering to come and feel good for a while and go home. Some look at it as a place to make business contacts and try to get a sale or two or an appointment. Others look at it as a time of fellowship. We get to go and see people we haven't seen all week, and we hang around a while, and there might be some food or a meal or something involved before it's over, and we enjoy that and go home. While those things are all good and may have their place in other areas, That's not really the purpose of what the church is here for. Jesus made clear to his disciples before he left this world. In fact, as you look up in the verses just before we read, when you see verse 17, it says that when they saw him, they worshiped him. But the next phrase has always been challenging to me. But some doubted. I'm sitting there thinking, they must have been Baptist. I mean, you know, they saw Jesus die. After 3.5 years of ministry, they saw everything he taught. They heard what he said. They saw miracles and heard other stories. They saw the crucifixion. They heard about the resurrection and then saw a resurrected Lord. And for 40 days, he'd been walking around giving them encouragement and instructions and making sure they knew he was alive. And after 40 days, he's ready to go back to heaven. And I look there and some still doubt. And I'm thinking, well, what more do you need? There are those of you who are sitting here this morning who have faith in Jesus Christ, who have publicly demonstrated it even this morning by baptism. You've never seen him face to face. You never saw him walk on water. You didn't see Lazarus get up out of the grave and live after 4 days being dead. You didn't see water turn to wine. And you didn't see people who were paralyzed who could walk again. You didn't see any of that. Yet you believe and have faith in Christ and live for him. But some of these bozos had seen all that and they still sitting there going, I'm not really sure I know what it's all about. And I'm sitting there going, duh. What in the world do you need? You know, there's just some folks you just feel sorry for. And you just can't help it. And you know, we in the South, we have a saying. We look at some folks and we just go, bless their heart. Some of you Yankees that have moved down, have you caught on to that? You know, have you caught on to that saying? There's some folks that just don't get it. And you know, and we just go, bless their heart. You know, just bless their heart. And you know, I'm just wondering if there was a lot of bless their hearts that were going around there on top of the Mount of Olives. And Jesus was just wanting to say that. Why did they doubt? What was it they had to doubt? Jesus leaves them this great statement. In verse 18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. Make no mistake, he wanted them to understand that the one they were watching and listening to at that moment was the very Son of God, who had accomplished the mission of paying for the sin debt of all the world. That before the foundations of the world, he and God had already planned it all of how it would be done. And Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but thank God he washed me white as snow. I mean, it had been done. Jesus said, it's finished. And now, it's your turn to do what God wants you to do. It's time for you to understand your purpose. Jesus had said to his disciples earlier, I'm going to build my church. And even the gates of hell will not even be able to stand against it. But here's what you got to do. And he lays out in these next two verses what I call this morning the purpose of the church. I want you to notice very quickly, three very simple points. Very easy to follow and understand. Notice number one, we give it the term evangelism. The purpose of the church, the primary purpose of the reason we are here is to teach. The word teach there is the Greek word that we get the phrase make disciples. We are to go about telling others of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is primarily the reason we're here. Notice he said, go ye therefore. That is a participle which you could literally understand is as you are going, make disciples. Wherever you are, make disciples. Work, school, community, church, wherever you are to be about the business of making disciples. We are to teach all nations. It is the primary reason that Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was always about doing evangelism. He was always about soul winning. Nicodemus by night, woman at the well, Zacchaeus. Even in his dying moments on the cross, the thief next to him cried out in salvation, and Jesus granted him eternal life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, our primary reason for being here this morning is not for you to catch up on all the gossip and catch up on all the fellowship and to find out what you want to do this week, but the primary reason for the purpose of this church existing on this highway is to be telling the gospel of Jesus Christ in this community and around the world. Amen. And when we are doing something other than that, then we are not fulfilling the purpose that God left us here to do. Now, I enjoy fellowship as much as the next person. I enjoy good food as much as anybody else. I enjoy being able to stand around and talk and chit-chat and catch up with everything. I miss it when you're not here. I miss it when I'm not here. And I love to catch up and know what's going on. But let me tell you something, brother. If we're going about doing anything other than sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we ought to just close up and go home and do something else. This week, the reason we had Vacation Bible School was very evident on Wednesday night. 13 precious souls invited Jesus Christ into their life. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but that's a lot happier seeing that happen than any other ball game I could ever go to. Amen. I'd rather see people getting saved than anybody hitting a home run. I'd rather see people coming to Christ than scoring a touchdown. I'd rather see people kneeling down at the altar and giving their heart to Jesus than kneeling down on a green and trying to line up their putt and to get it in a hole. I want to tell you something, folks. There's nothing better than seeing folks come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Than praying God's name why our church is not doing more about it. We're doing everything else. We're having ball teams and fellowships. We even have groups and Bible studies, and we do everything else. Nobody's walking the aisle. Baptistry waters aren't getting stirred. Had a pastor one time that in the last few weeks told me that his church was griping and complaining. And I said, why? He said, because we've had so much of an expense of the water bill. And I said, why you got such a high water bill? He said, because we've been baptizing people for the last 6 weeks, and we've had to fill up the baptistry every week, and people complaining of the water bill. And I said, listen, brother, if that's all they got to complain about, brother, you just help yourself. You just keep filling it up. You just keep paying the water bill. And if somebody don't like it, then they can just go somewhere else where they only use the baptistry to store the Christmas decorations. If that's what they want to do, help themselves. Let me tell you something. It's time that we get back to sharing the gospel of Christ as we go. It's not the preacher's job to do all the soul winning. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell me that you hire a staff to do all the work. It's not the staff. It's not the deacons. It's not the ordained ministers. It's not the seminary graduates. It's every single one of us have been given the command and the mandate that as we go, we are to be making disciples. We are to be sharing the gospel. I was thrilled when I got to post and share the salvation experiences this week. Had a pastor call me and he said, I got a question for you. How in the world do you have so many salvations at a Vacation Bible School? He said, we've had Vacation Bible School for the last 8 years and never had one single salvation in that church. And I asked him something. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I'm not being critical. I said, but what are you doing at Vacation Bible School? He said, oh, we got crafts and games and cookies and Kool-Aid. And we have cheeseburgers and hot dogs and pizza. I said, yeah, we got all that too. And he said, we've got, I said, what kind of, and in fact, they used, Jessica, they used the same material we used this week. They used the same stuff. And I'm sitting there going, okay, Scott, something's wrong here. If they're doing the same thing we're doing and using it the same way, but they're not getting anything else. I said, let me ask you a question. When you get to that fourth night and you're doing all that, how do you handle that? He said, oh, we just skip all that stuff. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, everybody's tired and ready to go home, so we've cut our Bible school short. We don't even do the finale program every night. Says after they get through eating and playing games, the parents are lined up in the parking lot to pick them up to go home. I said, why? He said, some of them got ball practice. You know, I'm a nice person. I'm low-key. I don't speak my mind a lot. I'm just real quiet. I have this quiet demeanor, you know, about myself. But I'm going to tell you something. I nearly came through the phone. And I said, brother, you're missing it. The reason nobody's getting saved is because nobody's sharing the gospel. If you'd share the gospel, somebody would get saved. And that's why we don't see it anywhere else. That's why people don't have that going on. So as we go, we're to be making disciples. Number two, notice this. He says, go ye therefore, teach all nations. Notice this, the next thing, baptizing them. That is what I call enlistment. We to evangelize, and then we are to enlist them. That is a baptizing them is the opportunity for a public demonstration of that private decision that they have made. See, the baptizing of the converted disciples was the first step of outward obedience to following the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from a Greek word, which is the word baptizo, which we literally get our transliterate baptize, and it means to dip or to immerse. And for some of you who don't still understand what that means, Dunkin' Donuts. Cup of coffee. What's the purpose of a Dunkin' Donut and a cup of coffee? To dip it in the coffee. Why do you think they call it Dunkin' Donuts? Sitting in a restaurant one day having my Dunkin' Donut and my cup of coffee. And I was having myself a ball just to, you know, dunking that thing right in there and just eating it all up. And a guy walked up to me and says, excuse me, I've never seen that done before. And I looked at him and I said, you mean you've never been to Dunkin' Donuts? He said, oh, we go to Dunkin' Donuts all the time. Up where I'm from, around Boston, there's Dunkin' Donuts everywhere. And I said, well, where do you think they got the name? He said, I never thought about it. I said, watch this. He had his little bag of donuts to go and his coffee. He said, wait a minute. Set it down, took the lid off the coffee, opened up his bag, got out his donut, he went. And I've never seen a Yankee enjoy a donut as fast as all my life. He just got right down in that thing and enjoying that to great. He said, look to the lady. He said, how about make six more of those for me? I'm going to take them home and show my wife. Baptizo literally means to immerse, to dunk. It is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a public demonstration of that private decision already been made in your heart. Jesus is our example. When he began his public ministry, went to John the Baptist at the River Jordan that was baptizing. He went to John and said, John, I need you to baptize me. And John the Baptist, being a good old Baptist preacher, went, uh-uh. No way. I'm not baptizing you. I know who you are. He said, John, I know you know who I am. I heard you say when I was walking up, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You and I understand who we are. He said, but John, I cannot begin my public ministry until I identify myself as being obedient to my Heavenly Father. And in order to do that, I need to do that by public demonstration of baptism. So let's get down into the water and let's get this thing on. John went down into the water. And he took Jesus and he took and baptized him. And it says that they went down into the water. Dunk. You got it? You understand it? Baptizo. Okay. He goes down into the water, brings up the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, all of heaven shouted. All of the glory came down. And a voice from heaven spoke. The Heavenly Father says, behold, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And then the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. At that very moment, everyone standing around could hear the voice of the Heavenly Father, could see the Heavenly Son standing there. And then they heard, as God was speaking, they saw the evidence of God the Holy Spirit coming down. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You got a problem with the Trinity. You got a problem with Jesus' baptism. Because you don't understand it. I don't understand it, but I want to tell you, everybody standing around there that day saw it all. And Jesus was there publicly declaring he was being obedient to his Heavenly Father. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, when you invite Christ to come into your life and forgive us of sin, the very moment of your salvation, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God to the day you walk into heaven. You're saved forever, for sure. Nothing could ever change that. But God said the way to show your first step of obedience, to publicly identify yourself as following Jesus, is through the method of public baptism. We in our Baptist churches sometimes think it's just some ritual. But I have dear friends who are here today who come from a country that sometimes by doing it, you're marked for your faith. And sometimes It means separation from those who reject Christ because they reject you now. There are others by when they come to and follow in baptism because of their culture. They may even have a public funeral for you because you're no longer welcomed in their family and in their culture. So make no mistake, it's not something that you just do. Jesus said, when we follow in baptism, we are indicating our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him. And in that obedience, we're saying, I am following Jesus. From this moment on, I want everybody to know on the outside what I've already done on the inside. Baptism doesn't save you. If you think that those waters from Big Creek Water Company that's in this pool back here can wash away your sins, you're sadly mistaken, because only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away your sins. But the water baptism is an outward symbol of showing everybody out there what God has already done in here. We should never apologize for bringing people into the church and enlisting them into the family of God. We should never apologize for requiring people to be baptized to show their obedience to Christ. You say, can you go to heaven without being baptized? Yeah, I know somebody who did. The thief on the cross. He didn't get baptized. And those who teach the heresy that you have to be baptized in order to be saved, and if you don't get baptized, then you're not really saved, you can't go to heaven, I got news for you. You're calling Jesus a liar on the cross. Because Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you're going to be with me in paradise. But nobody took him down and baptized him in the water. No. It wasn't just a few moments later. He was walking to pearly gates, walking streets of gold. He was enjoying heaven. Baptism doesn't save you, but baptism is a demonstration to everyone else that you are saved. So there's no such thing as having to be baptized to be saved, but being baptized shows you're being obedient to God. I am following Him in my life. That brings me to the third point and last. There's evangelism, there's enlistment, but notice verse 20. We have the education. What is the purpose of the church? Why are we here? We get them saved. We baptize them, enlist them, and notice this, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's education, teaching them. You see, our job doesn't end this morning to these precious folks who have followed in Christ in baptism. Our job isn't over. It's just begun. As a local body of believers, we have an obligation to every single person that walks this aisle, accepts Christ as their Savior, follows the Lord in baptism. Then it begins the responsibility of teaching them what God said that God wants them to know through this book. And telling them how they can live for God, how God can bless their life, how God can use them in their life, how they can use the gifts and talents that God's given them to be an effective witness for God in their life. We teach them. To go and do what? Go and tell somebody else. To go and tell somebody else what God's done in their life. That's what we teach them. That's why we have Sunday school. Do y'all think we have Sunday school just because we can sit around here and talk about the ball game last week? Or the news or the political views? That's not what Sunday school is about. Sunday school is about teaching the Word of God so you can learn to be a disciple of Jesus Christ so you can go out and as you're going, tell somebody how they can be saved. Amen. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Wednesday night Bible studies. That's why we have children's programs. Why we have youth programs. That's why we have teachers to show up and we spend thousands of dollars on materials and curriculum and stuff so that we can tell them how God wants to use them and they can take and learn right straight from the Word of God what God wants to do in their lives. We teach them what Jesus wants them to know. It's building up the body of Christ. You see, here's the problem. If we get sold out on soul winning evangelism, if we want to get people saved, many times we'll do that. And then once they walk the aisle, we'll go, okay, nice having you. And then some people just stop there. I got news for you. We don't stop there. There's a Sunday school class that meets at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning on this property for every single age group represented in this building. There's a place for every single one of you. to sit in a classroom under a godly man or a godly lady who's prepared all week to take God's word and tell you and teach you what God wants you to know, how you can be a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sadly, we have a lot of people who don't show up for that. And I can't figure out why. Maybe it's not interesting to you. Maybe you know more than we do. I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out. We have children's programs, and we spend thousands of dollars on curriculum and programs, and people will volunteer to teach. And we'll have people who won't even bring their kids to church, bring their kids to the programs. And I'm sitting around going, what do you want us to do? I think we've seen this week, folks, that the children in the youth programs of this church are alive and well. And I think if you just take and prepare just a little bit and make a little bit of an effort, boys and girls and young people will come to church and hear the gospel, sing some fun songs, have a good time, and enjoy the message of God. And when it's all over and said and done, when the opportunity is there, they will respond to the Holy Spirit's drawing and they will come to Christ if we'll give them the gospel. And I'm, for one, not ready to quit doing that. I'm not one to quit and sit back and say, well, people won't come, we just won't do anything. No, that's what the devil wants us to do. The devil just wants us to say, well, we tried. It just didn't work. They just didn't come. I grew up in a church one time. My age group, I was the only one in that Sunday school class. And there's some people who would say, well, I'm not going back. I'm the only one in that Sunday school class. But boy, for a while, I got one-on-one instruction from a godly teacher. I didn't have that teacher sit there and say, well, there's only one here. I'm just going home. We're just going to quit and forget it. You just go sit in your mom and daddy's class or go sit in the car or something. No, they didn't do that. You know what they did? They opened up the Word of God and said, let's see what this week's lesson. Let's see what God can teach us this week. Boy, I got discipled one-on-one for several weeks until some others started coming. We started bringing others. Just enjoyed the daylights out of it. There's a famous story of a man who pastored a church in England. One night came a tremendous snowstorm. Pastor couldn't make it to the church in those days of the 1800s and travel and restriction. And it was a Sunday, couldn't get to the church. There'd been a tremendous snowstorm. But some of the people who lived closer to the church and a godly deacon and some godly members decided to make their way. They got to the church. They got the wood in the heater going. They got the oil lamps lit and let the people know that if you could get there, and those who, if you could walk there, snowshoe there, just come on to church. We'll have church. Well, they gathered, and they probably wasn't any more 10 or 12 that were there. No pastor, because he couldn't make it because he lived so far away. One godly deacon stood up with the Word of God and says, well, I was reading this week, and I'll just share this verse of Scripture. And he shared a verse of Scripture. He says, our pastor always gives an invitation, so I'm going to give an invitation. And they didn't have but 10 or 12. Gave an invitation, and in that service, the only young person, one young person, about the age of 10 or 12, sitting in that audience, got up out of his seat and came forward and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior in a snowstorm service with nobody else there. He was the only kid. Some people would have said, let's just don't have church. Some people would have said, well, there was just one. What's the big deal? What's the big deal about one? Scott sat down here grinning because he knows who it is. That man was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The great Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who would go on and pastor in London, England, and preach at the great Metropolitan Tabernacle, who but was used of God to influence the world on two continents across the ocean of the Atlantic and touched thousands of preachers to this day and challenging them and preaching the gospel, who probably, since the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, was probably the greatest expositor of the Word of God that has ever written any sermons. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was the only kid in a service. And the preacher couldn't even get there. But a godly deacon gave an invitation and Charles Haddon Spurgeon got saved. And I think to myself, how many Charles Haddon Spurgeons may have been sitting in our Sunday school classes this morning? Or sitting in our vacation Bible school this week? And we say, well, we didn't have as many as we usually have, and others just didn't come as much, but look who we had come. Look at the ones that came forward. Maybe 14 missionaries going to go around the world showed up this week and got saved that are going to carry the gospel because we did our job. I, for one, as your pastor, am not ready to quit having children's programs and youth programs and vacation Bible schools just because it doesn't fill up to somebody's quota of expectations. I think if just one shows up, then bless God, open up the Word of God and let her rip.
Amen.
Give it to them. Teach them to observe all the things. I like what he says there, and lo, I'm with you always. Aren't you glad to know Jesus was with us this week? Aren't you glad to know that Jesus was right here drawing people to himself? As I conclude this morning, I read this quote a long time ago. It's been attributed to many other preachers, so I can't really, Gary or Scott might could help me to figure out who it was that said it first. But I've heard everybody from Vance Havner to Billy Graham to others quote this quote. And I think it's a great summary of the purpose of the church. Evangelism, that's our first point. That's the first purpose, the main purpose of the church. Evangelism is not complete until the evangelized become evangelists. Our job's not over until every single one of those folks who have gotten saved in this church are out sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and telling others how they can be saved. That's what it's all about. That's the purpose of why we're here. That's the purpose of what we do and why we do it. Well, and let me just say this and I'll close. We also do it in the middle of the summer when everybody's on vacation. We do it in the fall when everybody goes back to school. We do it in the winter when it's too cold for people to come to church. We do it in the spring when everybody's going out and enjoying the nice weather. But if we find a reason to quit and not do it, we'll find it every time. But if we just decide that, bless God, we're just going to do what God told us to do, we're going to keep doing it till Jesus comes. Because he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And there's some days I wonder if that end of the world's coming soon. I wonder if when I look around and see the condition of our country and the condition of the world and where it stands, and I'm thinking, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm ready. I don't know about you. But until he comes, let's fulfill the purpose of what God put us here to do. Would you bow with me in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. Jeannie and Vicky are coming. Share with us. Lead us in a hymn of invitation. If you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I've seen all that's happened. I've heard all that's happening in this place and in other places. There are hundreds and hundreds of people weekly coming to Christ and being saved and all across our land and our area. God is moving in a great way. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, but he's moving right now in my heart. I'm not sure today I'd go to heaven. If I died before I got home, I'm not sure that I'd see Jesus. Oh, I don't want you to leave this place this morning until you know for sure that you're saved. We're going to begin to sing in a moment. When we do, our deacons will be here at the front. We'll take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved and how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. You can be just like these others this week that made that same decision. And come and accept Christ. Don't leave this place until you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Maybe there's someone here who says, Preacher, I know I'm saved. But I haven't been sharing the message. I haven't witnessed to anybody in years. There's no one that I could point to right now that can say, that person led me to Christ. And when I get to heaven, I don't know that anybody's going to be there because of me. Because I've never tried. I've never done it. But oh God, being my helper, I want to start doing it. I want to start being a witness. I want to share my faith. I want to tell others what God's done for me and how He could do it for them. Maybe if we got an old-fashioned burden for lost people, maybe we'd start seeing lost people get saved. Maybe you just need to get down on this altar and ask God to forgive you for not witnessing. Forgive you for failing in your purpose of why you're here. And ask God to help you do better. And to pray God to give you somebody that you'll have such a burden for that you can't wait to see them next. That you can't wait to sit down with them over a cup of coffee or while you're at work or doing what you do or passing them on the street, wherever you may see them, and just take an opportunity to say, can I tell you what God's done in my life? And tell them about Jesus. Maybe you just need to get down on this altar and do business with God in that way. Whatever it is that God's telling you to do today, there's some leaders in this church who need to lead the way and say, you know what, I haven't even been on visitation. I haven't even been knocking on the door. I go visit people I like to visit, but I go visit shut-ins, but I've never visited lost people. I've never shared the gospel. And that's why you're here. You're a leader of this church. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to show others how to do it. It's time that we get faithful. It's time we get obedient. It's time we get serious and fulfill the purpose of the church. Father, draw us to yourself. Help us be faithful and obedient and make whatever decision we need to make this morning to be right with you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. We're going to stand and sing what number? 340.